When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
On this edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad, we catch up with Magic sharpshooter Terrence Ross. Magic fans, the Florida Department of Transportation remind you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Instead, find a sober driver or catch a ride service. Remember, drive sober or get pulled over. Have a great night and drive safe. Lots to get into here with Magic Man Terrence Ross, including how he got the nickname Human Torch. We revisit that story, that fantastic night in Milwaukee, where his nickname just absolutely took off. Also, what it means to be the elder statesman on a team of mostly younger players. Terrence Ross, the gamer. Could it possibly be a career after basketball? Oh, he's having a lot of fun with people following him on social media and while he's playing all these video games online. Lots to get into with Terrence Ross on this edition of Magic Pod Squad.
This is Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Jalen Suggs.
This is Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Pod Squad.
And welcome, everyone. Great to have you with us for another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Dante Marcatelli, George Galante, David Steele, Jeff Turner, and we're joined by Terrence Ross. And surprisingly, we all have power after that storm. I'm blown away, Terrence. I don't know about you. David never has power. Very seldom have power, but you came through this okay too, did you?
Yeah, no, I'm on my phone right now, so yeah, we still have power over here.
Are you pretty good with these storms now? You're a pro. You've been 7 years in Orlando.
Yeah. So I mean, this is actually the first time we stayed through a hurricane, you know, on two of them. But it was definitely an experience. Last night I woke up and the howling of the wind kind of woke me up, and I kind of stayed up from like 3 to 5, and then I fell back asleep. No problem.
Did you?
Do the kids freak out at all, Terrence, at your house? Mine sleep right through it now at this point.
Yeah, no, they've slept through both of them like nothing ever happened.
Well, tell us through, I think it's hard for all the kids that age. I mean, at least mine are typically hard going to sleep, but then when they finally go to sleep, they're okay. But they get antsy in the house. I don't know how yours are, but they want to get out. How do you keep them entertained, Terrence?
Man, right now.
I'll take all the ideas you got.
Honestly, they actually been not bad. Of course they run around and chase each other for a little bit, you know, horseplay a little bit, but for the most part, they've just been hanging out, you know, watching movies, hanging on the iPads. You know, it's like a day off for them, so we let them kind of just do what they want.
Yeah, my kids always, when a hurricane comes, you know, they're grown now, but their memories are it was kind of like all the families together were watching movies, and
yeah.
And so now, you know, my youngest will call from Dallas and say, "Oh, you're having a hurricane. She's got FOMO. She's fear of missing out because we're having so much fun."
Yeah, at the house. No, that's what it is. It's a free day for them, man. They don't. for them, they kind of like, yeah, we don't have to go to school. Okay, we'll take anything over not going to school. So, I mean, yeah, they're enjoying it right now.
How much of it, though, is that if your kids get along with each other, then that makes it somewhat easy. But if you have two kids that are at each other's throats constantly, then it can be a nightmare for 24 hours. What about your kids, Terrence?
It's a mix. I mean, for the most part, they get along great. They have, you know, their iPads out. They're calm. But, like, yeah, there's definitely when they're getting tired towards the end of the day, they start, you know, fussing and going at each other and arguing about nothing. But for the most part, it's still early in the day.
It sounds like, you know, David was speaking from experience, guys.
Yeah, we've got to hear about that.
That's for a different show. That's
just that also comes because David never has power ever at his house. He never has power at his house. No, he's got to come up with things.
This one was good. This one treated me good.
Yeah,
I'm happy about that. Yeah,
you know, Terrence,
a lot of allergies around here, but we're
he's
good.
Got a Terrence has a son that plays in a basketball league, same as my daughter's, and they actually played. I've heard that. Yeah, we played against Terrence's son. And just like
his dad, we ran into each other a couple of times.
Just like his dad, he hit about a 30-footer at the end of the first half one day.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Crazy shot. He just pulled out. Right? Is he enjoying it? Is he playing, of course.
Yeah, he loves sports, man. He loves everything from basketball, hockey, football. He's a big sports fan. Baseball, of course. Like, it's one of his favorites.
That's awesome. So hockey. So you learning hockey? Are you all into hockey too?
Yeah. I mean, I being in Canada, I mean, growing up, I used to watch a little bit of hockey, but I think my time in Toronto kind of put me on to a lot more hockey just because it was the main sport out there. So I got a good dose of it.
This might be our chance. Can you explain curling to David?
What's like the little bargain that you always, it's like shuffleboard.
Yeah,
it's like shuffleboard. It's shuffleboard on ice. It's like, yeah, it's like what ping pong is to tennis, kind of in a way. So, like, it's pretty much like a skill game where you're just trying to get closest to the center. Trust me, that was always.
Can you explain? Can you explain this to me, Karen? This is something I've always wondered. When we go to Toronto, it's a beautiful city. You know, it is. It's a great North American city. But you turn on the television, and if there's a big college basketball game or a big college football game, all I can find is curling. I can't find anything except hockey and curling. I can't find on TV. Is that just in the hotels? Do they just do that to us in the hotels?
No.
Or is that nationwide phenomenon?
That's nationwide, because I would pretty much come home after games and, you know, turn the highlights on or turn SportsCenter on. And, yeah, it would be a quick glimpse of the Raptor game, whatever the Maple Leafs did. And then if there was the Olympics on, they definitely had the curling up. So, Canada's a different place. It's funny. But, yeah, I definitely know what curling is.
I feel like I have to ask. This is this is my issue with curling. I want to know, Terrence, is it a sport or is it a game? Now, you compared it to a bar game. So it's a game, right?
Oh, it's a sport to me. you have to have precision. You have to have an eye for it. I don't think everybody's gonna go out there and do the same thing, because just some people can put the I don't even know what you call it, but whatever you're shuffling down the ice, they put that thing on the mark. So it's definitely after watching it for 20 minutes, you kind of get lost into what you're watching, and you're kind of like, okay, I'm starting to understand this. That was a good shot, but
I gotta ask you this. Are they athletes?
Oh, I bet you they are. I bet you they are, man. Because going out there and being on the ice and like that lunging form that they do, I'm sure that would get a lot of people, non-athletes.
So some of them I've seen just don't look like athletes, but I could be.
David, you're gonna get a lot of letters from curling people now. You're gonna get a lot of letters from you're just insulting everyone that plays curling. Just go right down the line.
Just observations I've made over the years.
Uh-huh. but Terrence, tell the guys, you're a big sports fan. You had a good experience when our last trip to New York, you got to go to the ALCS at Yankee Stadium. And I know that was a bucket list thing for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. I went with Sid and I went with Joel and went to it was like, I forgot what game it was. It was game four or five. I think
it was game. I think it was game four because it was the game that they, the game that they were going to sweep.
Yeah. So I remember, I think it was at game five. We just landed in New York, and thank God there was rain delay because that gave us some time to kind of catch up. But me, Sid, and Joel, we all take the subway to Yankee Stadium. And for me, like, I've been to New York tons of times, but I've never been to Yankee Stadium. So for me, that was always like a bucket list. So Sid happened to get some really good, amazing tickets in the family section of all places for the Yankees. Right. So we went early to the subway, got there. It was amazing. I was a tourist, took pictures, walking around. We did a giant loop around the stadium just to look.
Nice.
And, we got to watch the game for a little bit.
Do you think Sid has dirt on everybody? Like, literally, right? Don't you think? For him to be able to get.
Yeah, Sid's privy to everything, to everyone. He knows. He knew the stadium. Like, it's funny because when we get up to the stadium, like, you know, there's long lines trying to get into the gate. Mm-hmm. And somehow Sid finds a side entrance. Not like it's like we take a shortcut to cut the entire line, and then we take a shortcut like into the building, and then he's like, "Yeah, I've been here a ton of times. Like, I know where." It felt like it was Amway the way he was walking us around. So it was really cool. Perfect guide for that experience for me.
Terrence, what's that? I mean, you're an athlete at the highest level you can compete at. What is it like? You're such a sport. We talked about it in the hallway before you were getting ready to go. Like, you like the history of the parks and mm-hmm. going to see other stadiums. What's that like for you?
It's cool. I've always been a sports fan growing up, and I mean, playing video games, you kind of get like a micro taste of like what the arena feels like and what it is. So for me, I was always kind of interested to like going to different arenas and different cities and different stadiums and different ballparks. And I had like a great chance like to go see Aaron Judge hit a home run, go see the Yankee Stadium in the playoffs, like under the lights. Like, I thought it was something I wasn't going to miss. And I'm glad I didn't, but I for sure have a good time just as a casual sports fan, going from city to city, catching other games, going to different arenas. Like, it's such a different, like, it's a feel from, you know, what I do all the time and going into arenas, because it doesn't feel like that when I have to play. It feels more like an office. But it's definitely fun for me, though.
I got a feeling that if you go with Joel Glass to a major league game, you also learn the subtleties of umpiring. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. because that's what Joel watches. I'm sure you got an education.
No, for sure. He was telling me about the times he's umped some games, and he knew a couple of the players that were on the mound and the dugouts. And Sid's a ginormous baseball fan, so that was always fun. Like, he knew everything that was going on. But, I mean, it was fun, man. I kind of have a good feel for baseball, so it was fun to see it in person and not like through the TV or playing a video game.
But did Joel waste your time by like pointing out the right field umpire's positioning and how?
Oh no, trust me. I was hip to all of that. I knew exactly I knew exactly what he was talking about. I wasn't lost in any of that.
Well, I wanted to make sure he wasn't just overwhelming you with garbage, because to me, I'm not there to watch the right field umpire's positioning. I'm there to watch everybody else.
Hey, you mentioned the gaming. You mentioned the gaming, Terrence. People can do this professionally. I'm looking at your Twitch followers. I'm looking at your YouTube followers. I'm looking at all the channels that you can go on and play these games, and people can chat with you. And like, I mean, that is that something? If you weren't playing basketball, would you be going down that road, you think?
I mean, hopefully I would try. And that's definitely, you know, would be fun for me. Like, it's like a second career for me almost. Like, I have buddies that make a lot of money, you know, playing video games and streaming all the time. So it's cool to interact with them, kind of get like tips on how to build my platform and build my stream and to kind of make it fun and do things I should and shouldn't do. So it's definitely been fun.
What have you learned? Because I see the chats, and there's got to be a business model there, right? I see the chat. Sure. You'll answer anything. You'll answer any question that comes in.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's really the biggest part about it. It's just engagement. Like, the fact that, you know, a lot of people just see me as an athlete, and when they see me gaming, it's like a different feel. Like, there's a ton of athletes that stream, but they might stream once every few months or a few times throughout the year. So like the fans who are like, you know, really faithful to Twitch and who have like favorite streamers, they're on Twitch all the time. Like they're constantly watching their favorite streamers, you know, play or interact with them a few times a week. So I think the biggest thing that I learned, you know, just talking to them was just trying to be consistent with it and just trying to build like a regular schedule. And I clearly was like, my job now trumps everything. Right. So like I go around that, but for the most part, like I try to stay consistent. I try to stream, you know, 4 or 5 times a month. And it also helps too because I have a YouTube page where I store all my content from the streams and any other things I might be doing at any other events I have. I just kind of filter it all through there. TikTok's amazing. Like it's so different from Instagram and Facebook and all those other apps and Twitter that like there's so much more traffic in there and the numbers are different. They kind of correlate different from each app. And I feel like a lot of people are spending the most time on TikTok. So it's just been fun seeing how, you know, I'm building, you know, this whole brand that I have and, you know, all the opportunities I'm having because of it, because it was tough. Like the first, you know, few months I was doing it, it was really slow. I didn't have any people viewing, but I think the more I started to stream and the more I started to kind of get out there, I think people started to like recognize that. And it's funny now, every game so far we go to, it's always people in the crowd saying, hey, I love your streams. I love your Twitch.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, and I'm having people coming up to me saying like, oh, my son said that you're a streamer. And I was like, but he didn't know that you're a basketball player. So I was just like, okay, that's amazing. That's kind of cool. It's like, you know, at least I feel like I'm doing something right or going in a step in the right direction. Yeah. So it's been fun, challenging, but yeah, I'm sticking with it.
How much time, Terrence, are you spending doing that, you think, a week?
A week? It's tough because, you know, our schedule is so kind of up and down and we're all over the place. But for sure, I try to stream maybe twice, 3 times, depending on how much we're here. I'll try to stream for maybe an hour or two. Just something like enough just to get some good content to put on YouTube and kind of, you know, keep the buzz rolling and kind of keep the momentum flowing. So not a little bit.
And what's your go-to games? Do you mix it up? Or are you strictly like whatever game is hot at the moment? Or
yeah, well, it's a little bit of everything. And I mean, pretty much the fan base will let me know kind of, you know, what they want me to do or what game is fun that everybody's kind of into at the moment. But it's so weird. People love watching me play 2K and watch me play basketball. So it's funny. I do that. And it's cool because it kind of, it's a little more, yeah, you know, but it's a little more personal because I feel like it's kind of me being me in my own, you know, just zone. And I think that it's easy for me to flow and hang out with people and interact with people. But there's other times I'll play other games that people completely know me just as like a streamer in that realm that plays that one specific game. So I play everything from Call of Duty to Madden to 2K to, you know, massive RPO games. I play a little bit of everything. So I think that's the beauty of it.
Have you talked to the Magic Gaming folks now to get you a tryout? I don't see how we couldn't have you on the Magic Gaming team.
No. I actually went to their gaming facility this past summer. I hung out with them. I got to play some games, run some practice with them, hang out in the facility, talk to the guys. So that was really fun. Definitely got to do that again because, you know, they're actually doing pretty well. When I got there, they just traded for like a up and coming, like really good player. And they ended up winning, I think, like the 3-on-3 championships for the league. So they definitely had a good year.
Could you hang with them? Are you good enough to hang with those guys?
Yeah, we were playing full games and I was helping. I was holding my own. I was doing really well. So I definitely would love to do that some more because that was fun.
We got to get that done, don't we, Dante?
That's a slam dunk.
That should be no-brainer. No-brainer in the offseason for sure.
I would think it would have been more like, you know, me or Dante taking you on one-on-one. You know, wow. I mean, that wouldn't go well. But totally. You're saying you can hold your own with the gaming guys, right?
For sure. Yeah, it was fun. Because, I mean, they might know how to play the video game, but I know how to play basketball. So I feel that kind of levels the playing field a little bit better. So yes. I definitely, you know, always have a chance.
I like that.
That's good. Well, give us an update on the team here, Terrence. Where how are we feeling? We are 12 games in right now. I know there were big expectations at the start of the season. We got to get healthy, for God's sakes. For 3 years, we've been the most injured team in the league. I think we could start there probably. But what's your assessment here, 12 games in?
Nah, for sure. We've definitely been – it feels like with all the injuries for the past 3 years, it feels like we're playing with, like, one hand behind our back.
Right.
Like, we missing, like, almost like a whole nother team sometimes. But, I mean, that's how it goes. But, you know, our guys are doing a good job of handling adversity. The spirit is still good. We're playing a better brand of basketball. We're playing the right way. So it makes it easier to kind of get over these losses. We don't really linger as much. And I mean, last year it was tough because, you know, after halftime last year, that third quarter would kind of get away from us. And, you know, the games usually be kind of over by the fourth quarter. But, you know, every game this year we've been in, had opportunity to win it down the stretch. So, you know, we're taking steps in the right direction. And we're making everything competitive. So that's all we can ask for. And eventually they're going to start snowballing into W's, and we're going to start going in the right direction. But it takes time, man. You know, we're playing the right way, but it takes time.
How would you describe how you're playing differently this year? What, because you said we're playing the right way. What's the difference in the way the team is playing as opposed to last year's ball club?
Just the flow of offense. The way we play is a lot more efficient, a lot more fluent. It gives guys more opportunity to drive and make plays. Last year, I felt like, you know, there's a lot of our offense was kind of stagnant a little bit. And the coaches did a great job of coming back this summer and kind of helping us, you know, smooth out the offense and make it run a lot better. So it's been much easier to go out there and play and get in the rhythm for everybody. And, you know, we put a lot more pressure on the rim than we did last year. And I think that's just kind of opening things up for everybody and giving everybody space to create. But we definitely are, you know, playing a lot better.
Tell us about Paolo. Tell us about your new addition. I mean, there seems to be so much interest. And I know you know he's good. I know you saw him in practice. I know you saw all that. But did you think it would translate this quickly to what he's doing here on the floor already?
No, man. You can see he has a natural, you know, knack for scoring and playing well in big moments. And you can see it, man. He's a special player. That's why I was so excited when we drafted him, because he just his upside, his potential is just so much more than I felt like anybody else that was on the board. So it definitely is working out. He's coming along really fast. Like he's amazing offensively. The kid can do just about everything. He has great size. He has a good feel for the game. His IQ is high. He's a fun player to watch, man, and it's been a joy watching him up close doing his thing, because you're going to look back on this because, you know, you might have a special career. But you're going to look back and be like, you saw it early.
Terrence, what is it like for you now? At you look at our roster and you look at years pro, and you're clearly the grizzled vet on this team. What is it? And I know just from being in our office, I remember what it was like when I was in my office at 25, and I am nowhere near 25 anymore. What is it like for you now to be the guy that everybody looks to as the veteran on a team?
I mean, it's different than it was, you know, a few years ago. We had, you know, some older guys. We had guys a little more my age. But now it's just kind of just moving into a different role. I mean, it's just a different part of my career that I'm adapting to and kind of getting used to, you know, what the team needs and kind of how we're playing. So we're for sure going the right way, and I'm feeling comfortable. I'm in rhythm. I feel like I'm helping a lot on the court. So I definitely, you know, accepting it and embracing it.
Hey, you talked about in the background. That's Coach Park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We heard him. We heard him. Somebody let him out, would you?
So you talked about a little bit about Paolo and everything, but like this is your 11th year in the league, and like how is the game just in those 11 years when you see guys like Paolo and Bol, the size of the guys and what they're able to do, just your sense of how just the game has changed
the way it's played, the way it's coached in those years since you came into the league?
Yeah, it's been crazy. I feel like I got here right during the transition from, you know, the 4-5 bigs that played down low to the positionless basketball that is, you know, the 5-out offense that pretty much everybody runs. And, you know, 1-5 can shoot the three at a high level. And it's just a completely different game than it was. I got here right when, you know, there was 4 and 5s on the court where, you know, we ran floppy a lot and you could go off either baseline and you knew you were going to get a big screen from a big guy. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, okay, there's 4 guards out here and, you know, their center is 6-7 and, you know, everybody's picking and rolling, picking and popping. So it's just a different game completely. And, you know, adjusting to it has been, it's been fun. You know, it's been interesting because every coach kind of has a little bit of like the old ways in them. But now, like, I think I'm in a completely different zone to where the NBA is completely different. You know, the coaching's different. The way we practice is the practice are different. Gameplay is different, game style. So it's been fun. I'm definitely, you know, blessed to be in this position to see both.
Is there anything wrong with positions, though? Am I wrong about that? Like, can we have positions sometimes? Can we, or is this better? Do you like this better?
I think it's better because, especially in our case, we have, you know, follow that kid, be a mismatch on everybody. So in this case, for us, it works. It's perfect. It makes it that much more interesting because, like, we have a mismatch. We are, you know, we have. Yeah. Biggest lineups in the NBA, and it makes it hard for teams to adjust, you know, certain guys that they want to pick on in the defense. It's harder to pick single players out. It's harder to run your offense when you have 4 7-footers out there. So yeah. It's just a different game now, but it's definitely working in our favor.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You know, Jeff and I were talking the other day about Paolo. He turns 20, I think, just in a couple of days. But right now he's still a teenager. Like JT and I were saying, players know when they're playing with greatness. And even though he's 19, how long did it take from him arriving? And you're a 31-year-old vet. I mean, we got other veterans on this team and around this team. How long did it take to realize this guy is special. He's different.
I mean, honestly, personally for me, I mean, when I saw him playing Duke, even before, you know, I knew he was going to be number one pick or he was going to the draft or anything, is you can kind of tell, like, that kid has, like, a special game. Like, I've never seen anybody that size handle the rock, move, play inside and out. Like, he dunks on people with sheer force, but he can also, like, cross them up and shoot three. So, like, I think right then and there, like, you notice, like, he could be a generational talent. Like, he could be one of the guys that could be a prototypical, like, build for the years to come. So, I mean, when we got him, it was just exciting because you knew what he was capable of before, you know, you ever seen him play live. But even still, like, it's his comfort. He's just so comfortable out there that when he got out there, it felt like nothing was speeding him up or slowing him down. He was getting everything he wanted. You can still tell that he's trying to figure things out, trying to be more efficient and, like, how he can get to his spots. But he's really good, man. I mean, it's hard to really compare him to anybody. Like, he's just one of those Pacific Northwest guys. Like, those Seattle guys know how to play ball. Like, they all have that type of game where they can do just about everything. And he has the size to do everything. So, it's been fun to watch.
Is there somebody, T, that you look at? We get asked all the time, who's he like? Who's he comparable to? What, you know, something like, is he just special in his own way, or does he remind you of maybe a combination of players?
I mean, it's kind of like, it's almost like he plays like Julius Randle, but in reverse. Like, if Julius Randle is trying to play like somebody, it'd be like Paolo Banchero, because what Julius does is very, like, fine-tuned, and, like, he's worked to do that. But what Paolo does is, like, a very natural, cleaner version of, like, how he plays, and it looks a lot nicer. Like, I think for the past few years, like, maybe 2-3 years, Julius Randle's been playing how he does, like, off the dribble, shooting threes, doing, yeah, you know, bully ball, this and that. But he wasn't always doing that when he got into the league. Like, he had to learn that. And yeah, with Paolo, his game is very natural in that, so it looks much cleaner, much more fluid, and it's much more, like, jaw-dropping because he has the size to, like, actually play the five. But when you see him handle the rock, it's like, okay, he can come off pick and rolls, the lobs, find the weak side corner. Like, he does so many different things that, like, it's – you can tell it's very natural. Like, he didn't just learn that.
Do Seattle guys and Portland guys get along, Terrence? Or we don't have any beef there, do we, that I don't know about?
And no, it's always, you know how it is. Like, you know, Pacific Northwest, like, we run into each other a lot. We always play each other. So it's like that respected camaraderie of just, like, rivals. But still off the court, we're pretty good friends with a lot of, you know, guys from that area. So it's nice little respective brotherhood type of thing.
I know, obviously, you went to school. You went to Washington long after his parents did. But did you know about his mom and the scoring record and all that? Was there? Okay.
Gotcha. So there was. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Nah. It's so funny. He was talking to my son last night. My son got his autograph. And he ended up telling my son, he was like, you know, when I was your age, I used to watch your dad play at UW all the time. And it's just weird because my son's 8. And Paolo's 19, and it's just like, bro, like, that's clearly, that was just a few years. It's just crazy how time works, but it's just like, yeah, man. It's like he was literally one son of mine ago, now he's a man-child who's out here averaging 25, 23, whatever it is. So it's crazy to see.
His mom was a great player, obviously. Your mom was a great player. Is there anything to, because I've read some things that Paolo said his mom really taught him how to play basketball. The women's game teaches you how maybe to play better away from the ball, cutting and screening and that sort of thing, fundamental basketball. Is there something to that? You know, players, men who were coached by their mothers who were great basketball players?
Man, I think it's just when your parents are hoopers, they pass the game on to you. And that's just how it goes. Mom, dads, whoever it is, man, if you got a family full of hoopers and everybody's played at a high level, it's natural that you just pick up on certain things.
So that's funny because
your parents aren't hoopers, George.
No, my dad liked to fish. So there you go. and then I played basketball all the way through high school, and then my kids play lacrosse. So they didn't translate.
I know where you were going, George. You're going to say, "Yeah, my girls looked at me and was like, nah, we don't want any part of that. I'm a failure as a father. I couldn't pass on the."
I failed too. I failed too. It's okay, hey. Terrence. I want to go back to Milwaukee a few years ago. A lot of nicknames don't stick. Okay, and Dante came to you and said, "You know, we're coming. What do you think about the Human Torch?" And here we are so many years later, that one stuck and I like it and I love it. I want to get your take on maybe that night when Dante talked to you about it and how many people come up to you now and call you the Human Torch.
No, for sure. I always remember that. I mean, it's so funny. Somebody on my Twitch stream asked me that just the other day, like, how'd you get the nickname Torch? I went through the whole story, but yeah, no, for sure. It all happened. We were on the road in Milwaukee. He came to me for the game. He's like, yo, it's like you've been having a hot start, you know, off the bench. And we kind of trying to figure out a nickname for you that people like. Because I remember before that people were saying like Microwave 2.0, but that one was a little clunky. But and I remember you saying like, oh, you know, you like comics. Like, what about the Human Torch? And I was just like, very nonchalant. I was like, yeah, whatever you guys want. Like, I'm not even whatever you guys throw out there. But that one happened.
Whatever gets you, Dante, to end this conversation. Whatever.
And it was. I was just like, yeah. I mean, that works. I mean, that's what you guys like. And it's stuck. I mean, to this day, people call me that. Like every Twitch stream, somebody's saying, "Hey, Torch, what's going on?" Or somebody around town. Or even in New York, somebody called me at the Yankee game. Somebody was like, "Hey, Human Torch." I was just like, "I had a hoodie on." I was like, "There's no way you can just song that quick." Figure out who I was and my name. It's crazy. So I think Human Torch is probably out of all the nicknames I've had in my life, T. Ross is definitely always going to be number one, but number two is probably going to be Torch.
Yeah, but T. Ross is easy. I mean, that's your initial and last name. Right. Everybody can come up with that one. But like, I wonder if it's just because everybody knows too that you're a comic fan and everything else, and maybe that's why it sticks. I don't know. I love it. It's the best one we've had in a while.
No, I think it's strictly because of just the basketball thing. It's just because you guys, like, because it's weird. Like, people, I've had people say, hey, like, especially on my Twitch stream, because like my whole background and setup is just like all the things I like, and there's comics back there, and, you know, guitars and cars, all types of stuff. So it's weird. People are like, oh, Human Torch. And then they'll be like, oh, you're in the comics? And it's just like, how did you not put that together when you're saying, hey, Torch? Like, what? So it's just, it kind of just says, like, hey, they just think of me as like the Hooper. And I get that. But then also, it's kind of surprises people when they see the comic books in the background and start, you know, asking about comic books. So I'm just like, yeah, surprise.
It just hits all the boxes. It's just, it really is just the perfect nickname.
For sure. It's
worked well for you. It's fun for us, too.
When it's lit, you know, you get a couple in a row, Torch is lit, let's go. And like it has, certainly has been here recently. How much are you enjoying the podcast? I think about, obviously, we're Orlando Magic Pod Squad, so we're more Magic-centric.
Yeah.
You can go wherever you want. You can go any direction, right? And you do. You take advantage of it.
Yeah, no, I'm always talking about basketball. People always, you know, recognizing the basketball, and that's completely fine. I love it. But at the same time, it's like my podcast is kind of like something I can do that's just all about, you know, me and my buddies' interests and the things that we're into and stuff we talk about. So it's a nice little breather from, you know, a typical basketball.
But you cover all top. And you know what he's got that we don't have, guys, is a sponsor. You see it right there on his shirt. He's got that's called a sponsor.
And we don't have any of those.
Wondered what that was.
But A Game's great, right? Johnny Damon and his company. That's been a pretty good. You've enjoyed working with them?
Yeah, it's crazy. We're actually neighbors. So I see him and our kids are like, you know, friends, and their kids are usually always over here playing on the outside in our backyard or vice versa. So I definitely have a good relationship with him, and you know, we're always kind of hanging out.
Who's your neighbor, George?
Not Johnny Damon. Not Johnny Damon. No.
Real quick, Terrence, we got a couple of questions from fans, and then we'll let you get on your way. But this is great. I know fans are always interested in catching up with you. You mentioned some sports and some things that you might do, but everyone wants to know what sport you would play if it wasn't basketball. I think we'd all be interested in
that. Wasn't basketball? I want to say football, but I was so skinny and I'm still skinny that, like, I just don't know if my body would have held up with a crazy physical sport like that. But yeah, but it would probably be either baseball, football or baseball.
Did you play baseball?
Play football. Yeah, I played baseball growing up to about like fifth or sixth grade. And then after that, I was like, I'm just going to focus on basketball.
See, David played baseball. I would think that is the hardest thing to do in all of sports, is someone firing a baseball 100 miles an hour and you having to time it with a bat.
Yeah, baseball, thank God I ain't getting into baseball, because they're always on the go. They have no time. They play year-round. It just never stops for them, man. They live at the stadium. So I'm just like, I think I picked the right sport.
All right, Terrence.
They also get hurt. They run for 30 seconds a night, and they're all hurt. I don't understand.
And that's because they don't run at all, except after, like, maybe, you know, spring training, they'll get in shape. Right. And then after that, it's back to not running.
Any sport you can eat while you can play, that's probably, anyway, all right. So
or smoke a cigarette.
Or smoke a cigarette, yes. Okay, so the city, our new city uniforms just dropped, you know, about a week before this is gonna air here. What has been your favorite uniform that you've had since joining the Magic? Which one was your favorite?
I would say number one are the classic pinstripes, the blue pinstripes that we had maybe like three seasons ago. And then we had a jersey that was white. And it had like the blue like panel down the side, and it was had like the stars on it. And I think it was like kind of reminiscent to like those early 2000s, like T-Max. Those are my second favorite. And then third would probably be any of the black jerseys. I love the black jerseys.
Jeff, are you gonna miss the orange ones now that we're not doing the orange ones?
No, T-Bus, you didn't like the orange ones, did you?
No, I didn't like the pewter gray, and I didn't like the orange stuff with it.
Good.
Just felt lazy.
What? Felt lazy?
He said it felt lazy. Felt lazy.
O-R-L, and then a little bit of orange and gray. Like, come on, man. Can't do better.
I hear you.
Yeah, and orange is lazy too. That's just me, though. But go ahead. Go ahead, Dante.
That's just me. You're exactly right.
That's a Tennessee thing, though.
Playing at Vanderbilt. Vucinev, a lot of questions about Vucinev. How much do you miss those guys, and are you still in touch with Vucinev?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, our families are pretty much in touch, too. I know my wife keeps up with Evan's wife. And I actually, just before the season started, because Vuc, he still has a home out here in Orlando. And so whenever he comes back in town, we'll sometimes catch lunch or, catch up for a little bit or just hang out. So, I definitely talk to those guys pretty much regularly.
Awesome.
All right, my last one here is, fans want to know, you've done both. You've started and you've come off the bench. So do you prepare differently depending on what coach is going to tell you your role is going to be that night?
No. I think it's just the same level of focus and, readiness just to come in and make an impact. And then regardless if you come in at, 1200 o'clock or you come in at 500 o'clock, you got to stay ready.
All right, last one for me. Childhood idol. Who is your childhood idol? Young Terrence Ross growing up.
Kobe.
Kobe Bean. Absolutely. Did you have one outside of basketball? Was there one in music? Was there anyone else outside of basketball?
Man.
Was Batman your
Batman?
Idol?
Yeah, Batman.
Definitely one of my favorite superheroes. But yeah, I didn't relate with that billionaire orphan.
Also true.
Yeah, it wasn't me at the time.
Also true.
I can relate to Kobe. I had a fro back in the day. I would say Kobe and T-Mac. Number one because of T-Mac, and then I had a fro because of Kobe. So,
what have you have you gotten to meet T-Mac? Talk to T-Mac? I mean,
no, for sure. I've met T-Mac a few times, and my wife, I think for one of my birthdays, got me a T-Mac signed jersey, which is super dope. I still have in my closet. Yeah.
Awesome. That's fantastic. All right, last thing, Terrence. Bol Bol. Mm-hmm. What can you do? There seems to be a fascination with Bol Bol. You said that on Media Day. Said this guy can play. He can handle, right? Is it already doing what you already knew, or does he still surprise you? Well, tell us about Bol.
No, everything about Bol is surprised. Like, you, even when he walks into the room, you never get used to it. Like, he's just extremely tall. He's just like a giant man, child, baby, child. Like, he's just huge, and he's so, like, and you, if you met Bol, you know, like, he's soft, yeah. And he's kind of super chill. Like, even during the you know, starting five announcements, when they call his name, he doesn't never run out the tunnel. He just
Is that? Do we know what that's about?
Because it's Bol. He's just very low-key, wants to be out of the spotlight. Like, and he's just chilling. Like, so it feels like you never get to see him. It feels like when you see him on the court, like you're seeing like a unicorn before it disappears for until God knows when until you see him again. So it just
that's a great analogy.
Absolutely. Like, he's just, it's hard to describe him. He's like a freakish, mythical alien play basketball. Like, the stuff he does doesn't look real. And it's just like, no matter how many times you see it, you just don't get used to it. Because it's like, who's playing like that? That's all. And now it's weird that you have like Victor Wembanyama coming into the league. Right. But like, I'm sorry. Like, Bol just looks different when Bol does it, and in a good way. Cause like, it's just such a mismatch. People don't know how to approach him or know how to guard him or know about, you know, what his comfort level is. Cause you feel like you can get physical with him, but he's still 7'2" and he can just drop the ball into the basket over your head. So it's like, yeah, he's definitely an enigma for the league to kind of figure it out.
The energy that the arena gets when he pulls down a rebound, and then all of a sudden you realize he's not outletting it. He's going up the floor with it, and the crowd just starts to, like, do you guys get that way on the bench too when you're watching?
Absolutely. Last night, he actually got a rebound. He pushed, he went coast to coast, and he got fouled, but it was the fastest I've ever seen him run, and it was, like, fast. And it was fast for not, like, just a – tall guy, but fast for an NBA player. Like, he was moving, getting in and out of traffic. Like, and it's weird because when he dribbles, like, the level of his bounce and the dribbles are like the size of usually the defender or like somebody else. You think it's somebody gonna feel it, but he just has a great hand on it. He puts it behind his back. He can go in and out. He puts it through, you know, a little tight hole. But it's just, I don't know. He's a different type of guy.
Do you think D. Ross, that like all these guards that he gets matched up on, they always want to test him. They always want to shoot a step back jumper or something over him. It's like what you're saying. You just can't believe it's real. It's like he surprises guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's people haven't. I feel like people haven't played against him a lot. And usually, you know, when you have a tall guy out there, you can kind of gauge how much space you have. Even when they have like, you know, the little stick hand up trying to deter you from shooting.
Right.
But people think because, I don't know, maybe because it's Bol and he's super skinny and he's just like, you can kind of get him moving. Yo, he can recover and he can also jump. Like, he's very athletic. So when he jumps, it's not like jumping at you. He's jumping to like the peak of where your shot's going. So like, he had a good shot or a block on Luka last night with the same thing, because Luka shoots with a ton of arc. And he's still just like, hey, I'm just going to meet you where I think the ball is going to be and not where you're shooting. So I think he has a really good feel for that. And guys are kind of – it's tough to try to figure him out, man. People don't know if they can get around him or if they could, you know, shoot over him. But he's definitely a tricky defender.
Well, we're going to let you workshop the nickname thing. I like alien, unicorn, mythical thing. We're going to let you we're going to put that on you. We're going to let you come up with some sort of a nickname. Well, that'll be the answer.
For sure.
All right, Terrence. Well, I appreciate it, man. Keep up the great work. Best of luck the rest of the way. All right.
Thank you, guys. How's it going?
All right. You got it. That'll do it for this edition of Magic Pod Squad.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah!
and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.